Well, good morning. We're taking a couple weeks to revisit some thoughts and ideas about who we are and to where we are going. And last week, I revisited something we called a vision or purpose or mission statement, and that is that we're a loving community of Christ followers, striving to engage, embrace, and equip people in the faith. And I posited for you, and I hope it makes sense and resonates, that we really don't need to come up with a statement. We already have a couple of statements from Jesus. The first one is that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And the second is part of what Clint read this morning, that we're to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything Jesus commanded. I don't think you can do better than the statements Jesus has made about what his people and his church should be, who they should be, and what they should be about. But last week, I really focused on your ministry in the body of Christ. We used Ephesians 4:11 to say that it was Jesus who gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed or ignorant. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. Varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers all and everyone. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members are of one body, though they are many, they are one, and so it is with Christ. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Now you are the body of Christ." And so last week was a focus on your ministry in the body of Christ. I want to talk more about mission today, and I want to focus on what is your mission in the world. So if you've received Jesus as your Savior, if you've been born again, this scripture tells us that you have been supernaturally enabled. You have been given spiritual gifts. They're not natural gifts. They're not human origin. They're uniquely, supernatural enablements from God. When you come to Christ, He does a work in your life in spiritual gifts. And you're part of a body. There's this continual picture of who we are, and we're built brick by brick into a house, and we're members of a body. There's this idea of being individual and yet part of a collective. And so last week was primarily about what is your ministry in the body of Christ. And today I want to talk about now, what is your mission in the world outside of the body of Christ? You have a role in the body of Christ to build it up, but you have to also have a calling, a mission, if you will. And I'd really like to look at it in a twofold manner. First of all, what is our mission as a church, and what is your mission as an individual member of the body of Christ? Now, I had Clint read Matthew 28:18 again. This is Jesus' commission to the church. "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me," Jesus said. "Therefore, you go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them whatsoever I have commanded you." But it goes on in Acts 1, which follows Matthew, the end of Matthew chronologically. the scripture tells us that the disciples say, Lord, will you now at this time restore the kingdom of Israel, kingdom to Israel? And he says, it's not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So the church has a commission or a calling from Jesus to go into all the world and make disciples. And we're reminded that when we come to faith, we're baptized into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. And so as believers, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, but there is a reality of a continual, ongoing filling for the work to which God has called us. Our mission as a church is to make disciples. Jesus said, come, follow me. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, we did an interesting little exercise about 10 years ago when the founder of the PAYS movement, Paul Gibbs, was with us. And he posed this question. He said, when did the disciples become Christians? And our answers were all over the map. When they decided to follow Jesus, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, when Jesus died and rose again. And we really couldn't come to a consensus. And then Paul Gibbs said, when did the disciples become disciples? And the answer to that is when Jesus said, come follow me, and they followed him. And that exercise really draws out of what is said in Matthew 28:19. Our calling of the church is not to save people. It's not to convert people. That's God's job. It's above our pay grade. Our job is to call people to follow Jesus. Come and follow Jesus. Our job is to be like Paul. Follow me as I follow Christ. Don't follow me when I'm not following Christ. So the mission of the church, first of all, is to make disciples. Secondly, is to go. And the going is into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth. And then we're called to baptize. Baptism the water baptism is a perfect picture of what happens to you when you're born again, you receive Christ. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But the life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Baptism is a command. It's one of the first acts of obedience that should take place in a believer's life. If you've never been baptized, and you are a believer, a follower of Christ, and you've never been baptized, shame on you. But as far as a mission of a church, that's part of our mission, is to baptize those who have chosen to follow Christ. And then the reason that we have so many opportunities outside of Sunday morning is that we're to be teaching everything Jesus commanded. It's why we offer so many growth groups and opportunities to learn and grow. It's why the church continues to meet. And the beautiful thing is that God's Word never gets old or boring. It's living and active and sharp. And we can come to God's Word again today and find something new, even in a passage that we've known for years and read 100 times. But I'd like to back up just a minute and focus on the church's mission to go. Jesus qualifies that. Go into all the world. But the church specifically is to go to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And we're trying to fulfill that and do that here in our church. Jerusalem is where we live. And we go here. We're going here specifically and directly out of our church. You know, our Project One is a going. Project One, if you don't know, is one Sunday, one church chooses, instead of having a service for the church, we are the church in service to our community. So rather than coming in here, we go out there. We yell bright construction yellow shirts, and we work projects all over town. We are very tangible ways to say that Jesus loves you and we're here to serve you. And we need some projects. So if you have an idea of something that we could do, hopefully in one day on a Sunday, although some of our projects begin before Project One and continue after. And the reality is we're involved in projects all year long as we find out about needs. And so you can let Nadine know that you're available for certain projects if they come up. Going into Jerusalem is going where we are. It's why we support Bear River Young Life. It's why we support Love Inc., and we're going to talk more about that. The Hope Pregnancy Center. It's why we, the Community Kitchen. It's in a revamp and a restart, an opportunity to just bless people less fortunate. I was have been a fill-in driver for the Community Kitchen Meals for several years. And I was amazed at the number of impoverished and infirmed and aged in need of help in our community. We probably have a higher percentage per capita here than most communities. We need to help the Community Kitchen to continue to go. That's why we're involved in Celebrate Recovery, a ministry opportunity right here to help people find hope, help, and healing for hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And we connect with Seven, which is a recovery meeting out of the Lighthouse Church. So we're going to Jerusalem. We're going where we live. And then Judea is the surrounding area outside of where we actually live. It's why we're involved with Mount Elam Bible Camp. And you can continue to pray for that organization and that ministry to be revived. We support David and Lori Shelley in Greeley with International Students Incorporated. They develop a ministry to foreign students who come to UNC, usually in postgraduate work, and often it's in music. UNC is an internationally known university to get your doctoral work in the area of music. And David and Lori Shelley opened their home and they start a group, and they primarily have had Asians, people from Japan and China, who they interact with. And the goal of International Students Incorporated is, rather than spending hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to send somebody to Japan or China, we have Japanese and Chinese who come here to study. And when they come to faith, they take the gospel back to where they live. It's a beautiful ministry. The number of other things we do in our area. We just connected with Colorado Praise, and we're involved with Voice of the Martyrs, which is regional. We go to Samaria. Samaria is another step out, but it's also a place that you wouldn't want to go. The Jews didn't want to associate with the Samaritans. We need to be involved in ministry to people that we don't necessarily like or agree with. And then we're to go to the ends of the earth. How do we go to the ends of the earth? Well, we do it by supporting Javier and Gloria Valdez in Mexico. And I just noticed we support a church work in the Utah area. That would be our Judea. We supported Wayne and Louise Walgren for years when they were in Brazil. We support Kevin and Danielle Foster in Kenya. We're involved with Mission of Hope in Haiti and the Dominican Republic. We support Nate and Rochelle Dell who grew up in Kremlin and have been in Ecuador for a number of years. We support Stephanie and Ben Briesmeister in Colorado Springs. That would be another Judean work. My point is simply this. We're trying to fulfill our mission and commission from Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations and to go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And we've asked Terry Winey if she would come and specifically share about a local ministry that we've been involved with. We actually helped to establish many years ago, Love Inc. of the Yampa Valley. And so we're going to let Terry share with us more about that.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks, Len, for letting me come.
I'm guarding you.
My name is Terry Winey, and I'm here with Karina Browning, our executive director, on behalf of Love in the Name of Christ. In other words, people know us as Love, Inc. And we truly appreciate the opportunity to come and share with you about this ministry. So imagine someone calls the church. They have a need. It might be money for overdue bills, help buying a pair of glasses, help getting a car repaired, helping an elderly or disabled person move to a different location. It might be someone who asks often, then come to find out they go to other churches asking as well. So there's questions. Should we help? How should we help? How much and how often? Do we even have the resources to help? Do we have the time or people to go through the process to properly help? This is what Love, Inc. does. We come alongside and help the churches. Our mission is to mobilize local churches to better reach their communities. We are the connection point between the individual in need and the church and or organization. The person gets referred to us. We go through an interview process, and in the process of this, we learn their story, what's going on in their life, because everybody has a story. We investigate and verify everything we can. Then we decide on a course of action. We provide detailed information a church or organization might need, then help coordinate how best to use their resources to be able to help that individual. Our desire is that each person that is helped is given a new sense of hope. By the churches working together to invest in that person's life, they see Christ in action and hopefully want to know more. We always ask at the end of an interview if they would like us to pray with them. For me, every time but one, they've said yes. And sometimes it's the only time someone has prayed with them. We've helped people pay their bills, bought medical supplies, moved furniture, provided firewood, provided personal items, built storage sheds, provided for people devastated by catastrophe or illness, and much more. We've also offered budgeting and cooking classes. Throughout this next year, we'll be reaching out to those in the community and in our churches, offering classes such as redemptive compassion, affirming potential, and faith in finances. We also distribute food to several hundred people a month through our food bank. The journey has been a big part of Love, Inc. for many years, and Pastor Len has been a part of it since its inception, and we truly appreciate all that he has done. Thanks, Len. And over the years, many others from here have volunteered in some way to help those in our community. Even today, we have some who come and serve, so I thank you as well. So you can ask, how might I help or be a part? Consider being a donor. We are a nonprofit, and funding is through donations or grants, a one-time gift or every month. We are always looking for volunteers. We're looking for people with a heart to serve their community. Maybe you have certain skills that you'll be willing to share along with your time. We'll put you on the list, and we have a list. It could be just helping one time for an event or an ongoing commitment in our call center, doing a project for somebody, help distributing with food. We also need board members, so if that's any of this is your cup of tea, let us know. One important need that we have is prayer. Please pray for us. We will take all the prayers that we can get. There is a lot of need in our community. So if this sounds like something you might be interested in or willing to invest in, talk to Karina or I. We have a little table out there in the foyer. And we'll find a place for you. Come see us. Check out our operation. We're right on Victory and Breeze Street. We'd love to show you around, and I want to thank you for giving us your time this morning. Oh, yeah. And I have one more thing. The community of St. John the Baptist Orthodox Greek Church is inviting all Christian churches involved with Love Inc. to join us on Sunday, September 6th at 12:30. I'm not sure how to pronounce this. Heroes and Fellowship. The Heroes and Beverage are free. Donations are welcome, and all the proceeds will go to Love Inc. The church is at 691 Green Street. Nadine will be sending out emails with this information. They are taking all the food that they've had over the last few months for different things that they've done, and they're just putting together a big community event. They are inviting other churches that are a part of Love Inc. So come and join us for that. Thank you.
You can't get a better gyro than one made by the authentic Greeks here in Craig, so I'll be there for sure. All right, so that's our mission as a church, as a loving community of Christ followers striving to engage and embrace and equip others in the faith. The next point is this. What's your mission? You see, if you've received Christ, you have a ministry within the church. You're part of the body. If you're a hand, be a hand. If you're a toe, be a toe. If you're a leg, be a leg. Fulfill your ministry in the body of Christ. But grasp a vision and a passion for your mission in life. See, your mission is this, I had Clint read I didn't have him read it. I need to read Acts 17. Acts 17, later in the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul, later in the picture of the early church that we find in the book of Acts, at Mars Hill, a place where all the thinkers would gather. The Apostle Paul said this: God made from one man every nation to live on the face of the earth, having determined the allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward Him and find Him. And yet He is actually not far from each one of us. You are not in the community in which you find yourself by mistake. You're not in the family in which you are in by mistake. You know, some people feel sentenced to Craig. And this passage tells us that the God of the universe sovereignly determined where you would live and when you would live. You know, it gives a great perspective to we think we're so enterprising, and we think we've done so much because of how smart we are and how trained we are and how good we are and how hardworking we are. What if God would have so ordained that you were born in the 3rd century in Mongolia? What would all your training and hard work and enterprising do for you then and there? It would be different than now. You see, we need to be reminded that the life we live, the great life that we have opportunity to live, the sovereign God is behind that reality. And you are not here by mistake. God planted you here and now. First of all, so that you would find God. He chose to have you born when you were born, to live where you are living, so that you might reach out and find Him. You might feel your way toward Him, even though God is not far from anyone. But God knows you, and He knows what it would take for you to come to faith. And so He chose for you to live where you are when you do. In the Sermon on the Mount at one point, Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened for him." See, here's your mission. It's to seek God. It's to feel your way towards Him and find Him, even though He's not far away. The first part of your mission is to be saved. Is to realize that you are imperfect and God is perfect, and that there's a chasm, a separation between you and God because of that. And the bridge of that separation is Jesus Christ, who lived the life that we want to live, a life of perfection, a life where we don't hurt others and others don't hurt us, a life where we don't do things that we wish we wouldn't do. Jesus lived that life. He died a horrible, unjust death. And He, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin on the cross, that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. But to anyone who does receive Him, He gives them the right to become children of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. John 3:16 pleads with us to understand that receiving Christ, being born again, is an act of faith. It's belief. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him. But it's not an intellectual assent. It's not believing as a formula or from a human understanding. It's the Greek phrase of belief, which requires an action. Every one of you is believing on the chair in which you sit. You could walk in this room and look at every chair and think to yourself, that chair would support my weight. You're believing about that chair. But you have taken a step of faith and you're believing on that chair. And if you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. So your first the first step in your mission is to be saved. And in writing to the Ephesians church, the Apostle Paul put it like this: it is by grace you have been saved. And not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, lest any man should boast. For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he prepared in advance for you to do. The second aspect of your mission, your personal mission, is to be God's workmanship. To be God's poema is the Greek word. Be God's poem. Let the stanzas of God's heart be written through your life. You need to understand that God put you here, here and now, for his glory. And there are people who are feeling their way towards God, just like you did. And you have a wonderful privilege of being part of how God helps those people find him. Your job is to seek God, to find him, be saved, and then your job is to do good works. Not to gain God's favor, not to get saved, but because you are saved. God has a special, unique mission in life that only you can fulfill. Nobody else can do it. And he chose to have you live here and now to fulfill that mission.
This is Nate. Nate became a Christ follower 2 weeks ago and is still a bit giddy about it, though he's trying not to do cartwheels in public. Nate became a believer partly because of Kim. Yet, oddly enough, Kim and Nate have never met. How is this possible? Well, let's take a look. Kim loved Jesus from an early age, and in college she had a huge impact on her friends. While most of her peers used their college years to, well, experiment, Kim didn't. She remained committed to her faith, and it showed. It especially showed to Lisa, her roommate, who confessed to Kim that she wanted whatever it was that made Kim so strong. Kim shared her faith with Lisa, and Lisa believed. Years later, at Lisa's first real job, she met Thomas. Thomas was hit by a drunk driver when he was 13 and still carried a lot of anger and bitterness. Thomas and Lisa became friends, and it wasn't long before he started going to church with Lisa and her husband. After a lot of studying and searching, Thomas gave his life to Christ. Fast forward a few years. Thomas became a public speaker and was often asked to speak at large events. See, when he became a believer, Thomas developed a new perspective on life. He stopped resenting what had been taken from him and started being thankful for the second chance he had been given. On one particular day, Thomas shared about overcoming hardship and what it means to choose joy. He was so passionate that a number of people were inspired to share a link to his video. The video of Thomas inspired James, too. And if anyone needed inspiration, it was him. James had a ton of issues. He spent most of his life as a passive husband, an absent father, and a horrible friend. That said, no one disliked him more than he disliked himself. But everything changed the night he happened to watch Thomas online. Something clicked, and he knew what he had to do. He surrendered his miserable life to someone greater, and he was forever changed. James fought hard to make up for the lost years with his family, and he also began working with young men who were in danger of throwing their lives away. One of those men was Nate. Nate didn't really know his own dad, and he had no real direction in life, ultimately bouncing from one bad decision to another. Because of that, he often found himself in trouble with the law. No one had ever showed him what it looked like to be a real man. That is, until he met James. James became the first father figure Nate ever had. He learned about honesty, self-control, humility, and integrity, and where those traits come from. 2 months later, Nate publicly declared his belief in Christ. And of course, James was there. Now you can see the connection. Nate was impacted by James, who was influenced by Thomas. Thomas on Uncommon Joy and Lisa, who learned of Jesus from Kim. Kim's relationship with God eventually led to Nate's. Funny how these two people have never met and never will.
Would you stand and we'll be dismissed? Hey, this morning, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, you could do that. I'm going to hang around up here. Some of our elders are here. There's others who would love to talk to you about giving your life to Christ. Believing and receiving, repenting and receiving Jesus as your Savior. We'd love to help you embark on your life mission. Let's pray. Father, thank you today. Thank you for choosing where and when we would live. Thank you for ordaining. Thank you for your sovereignty. And God, we want to just press into you, partner with you. We want to lean into you to bring you glory in the way that you intended. Before the foundation of the world, you chose and predestined and prepared in advance for us to do good works to bring you glory. And I ask God that you'd help us to do that. Lord, help people who need to truly receive you and be born again to do that, and others who have been fighting against the mission to which you've called them. Help them to press in and connect with somebody to pray and to grow in that. So today, God, thank you so much for who you are and our great privilege of life, and especially eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in his name I pray. Amen.